Here's what's coming up on today's show.
You know, if they have their toys, like you said, and we have car loans and we're carrying credit card debt and things like that, we really at this point want to be making a focused effort on trying to reduce or even eliminate a lot of that debt.
Welcome to Marcia on Money with Marcia Harris, the founder and CEO of Unified Wealth and Retirement Planning.
Hey, everybody. Welcome into another edition of the podcast. It is Marcia on Money with Marcia Harris and myself, and we're going to talk about counting down the days to retirement. We've assembled a list of priorities to maybe keep in mind as we are getting closer to the golden years there. I like to use this analogy, Marcia, kind of like Memorial Day, which we just had a couple of weeks ago, where it's not actually summer, but we all treat it like the kickoff to summer, right? Memorial Day is here. It's the kickoff to summer, but it's not technically summer until a few weeks later in June, which is probably about the time we're dropping this podcast. And so I think that when we turn 50, it's kind of the unofficial kickoff to retirement because we start to get a little bit more serious. We're not retired yet, but we're thinking about it. What do you think?
Yes, absolutely. It's sort of what I find many times when I talk with people, they sort of feel like the switch, you know,
it's the
earlier years when you're in your, obviously your 30s and your 40s, retirement sounds so far away, but then you get to 50 and you realize that happened a lot faster than I thought it would. So I would imagine 10 years from now or 15 years from now, right? That kind of early 60s to mid 60s, which tends to be what a lot of people think of as quote unquote normal retirement. Yeah. Mm-hmm. People feel like, gosh, that's going to be here before I know it.
And 10 years goes by in a blink. Let's be honest, right? I mean, you know, you and I were giggling about our ages when we first started chatting with each other. And it was like, when did that happen, by the way? You know, it's like, we were just chatting. Your son was down in, we're both a couple of Indiana folks in high school here. And we were just talking about you were down in Columbus where I went to high school. And it's like, I swear high school was just a couple years ago. You know, it's like, but no.
It feels like that some days and then other days, not so much.
That's right. So with that mindset in mind, think about this kind of as the countdown to retirement. So let's just start with getting healthy and staying healthy. I mentioned 50 because it just works as a good, you know, round number to kind of start. And it's also the time we start to develop more physical problems and things of that nature as well. So if you want to enjoy retirement, especially those go-go years, Marcia, take that 10-year window from 50 plus to really start putting some focus on getting yourself healthy if you can.
Yeah, I think that's a great strategy, you know, to obviously I always think that your health should be, you know, your number one priority.
Because well, sooner's better, but yeah.
sooner's better. But yeah, it's good to get in those habits too, because when retirement does eventually arrive, then what do you do with all of that time? If you've already created healthy habits and you're on a schedule of some sort to kind of be active, then it's not such a difficult transition to make once you stop working. So it is good to just, get a plan in place and start kind of, baby steps, right? Just one step at a time and figure out what works for you so that it's just a smoother transition.
Well, think about eating healthier and exercising more, you know, it's tough, right? I mean, if it was easy, everybody would do it, as the saying goes, right? It's tough to do. But those things, since it is complicated, a lot of people equate that with financial stuff, that it's complicated. It's tough to do. So getting into good, health habits might also be good, for the financial habits as well. Now, it's expensive to get healthy in our country right now, so we want to, got to bear that in mind as well. And that's where that strategizing and planning comes into place. And you mentioned free time, so that's actually number two on my list. So let's go to free time next. It's easy to go for the big ticket items when I've got the bucket list of stuff I want to do in retirement, right? We all have that. But what about the minutia, Marcia, the day-to-day? I'd imagine that's the part that people can start to struggle with early on in retirement. Well, now I do have like an incredible amount of free time. What am I going to do with it all?
That's such a great point, Mark. And it's funny because I hear people say that, but I also find that people are saying, how did I ever have time to work before? So you can be in either one of those camps, or maybe you find yourself somewhere in the middle. Mm-hmm. Some people go into retirement already thinking about all of the things that they've wanted to do in their working years and they couldn't. And so they've kind of got this plan of how they're going to spend their time, but other people don't because, many people kind of, that's their identity is, you know, what they do every day.
Oh,
they
the get job.
Up and they
yeah.
go to work. Yeah. Okay. So mm-hmm. then once that's gone, it's like, who am I? What do I do with myself? So yeah, it's good to just, I think step back a little bit and just give a very thorough evaluation of maybe what those years have looked like for you. I mean, has there been an area that you would change if you had the time to do that? And if so, yeah. you're going to have that opportunity. So what do those days look like? And it is kind of, you know, sort of a shell shock to people who have been accustomed to working for 40 or 50 years and to not do that anymore. So I think starting early, just to kind of sort of redefine what life is going to look like for you is, right. is wise.
You know, and that's a good point too, because we do get a little shell shocked. And the one that hits me thinking about all the free time is the time together. Like if you're a married couple and you've been going, you know, both of you have been going to jobs or whatever the case is, you're now together all the time, especially if you're retiring, you know, close to the same time. I think silver lining, if you wanted to try to find one in the pandemic, was the fact that we're all locked down together. It was kind of like a test run for retirement for some people. If you're 50 plus, you're kind of like, hey, this is a little bit what retirement's going to be like. You're tripping over one another. My buddy who retired way early because of his military background, he put his 20 plus years in and had some injuries. You know, when his wife stopped working due to the lockdown, he's like, man, she's in my space. She's she's messing with my schedule, you know? And so I think that's also a hurdle to work together through on that free time too. A fun hurdle, but still a hurdle.
It is. Yeah. There are a few different ways that can all go. You know, I have clients that have expressed all of the different pros and cons of that. And so having more time together, what that looks like for some people is travel. You know, some people have said, hey, when we both, you know, are able to do it because we have the time, that's what we're going to do. And they kind of have this bucket list of places that they want to see. Mm-hmm. So that's exciting.
Right.
And then you have others who, to your point, maybe are finding themselves now with all of this time to spend together. And that's not necessarily something they get super excited about for whatever reason, you know? So
right. Yeah.
It's what would that time look like ideally for you? I think that is a great place to start in, again, doing that evaluation of where you want things to be. What if your partner has a lot of hobbies and interests outside of your time together, but you don't?
And you don't share those. Yeah.
And you don't
nothing
share
wrong
those,
with so, that, but how are you filling your time? Right.
Yeah, nothing wrong with that. But if I have clients who like to be on the golf course, right, or mm-hmm. they want to go fishing, and then their spouse doesn't really have any hobbies or interests because they've been working all these years, right?
Right,
so
right.
that can kind of present, you know, some issues there. So it's good to just try to identify those things, I think, in advance.
Well, and on my third on my list, and we could have probably put two and three together, but third on my list on this countdown, Marcia, you mentioned the identity of the job. And I think that's a great point as well. We put post-retirement career, but maybe career is too heavy of a word, but a post-retirement something or other, because I think as humans, you may have had a very stressful time, a very physical job, whatever the case is, and you are super looking forward to retirement. And those first couple years, you plan on doing nothing, right? Like whatever, because that's what you've earned. But I think at some point, humans need purpose, right? And so a post-retirement purpose is something to maybe keep on the radar, whether that's volunteering or whatever that might be.
Yeah. So I see that, you know, with people who they were really excited about having that time where it's not getting up to an alarm clock every day
right,
and,
right.
you know, getting to set their own schedule and every day Saturday. And that all sounds great. And it is. But then, yeah, it's kind of like with anything, you know, we have that saying, the honeymoon period, the honeymoon wears off.
True.
And they're thinking, I don't know,
wander aimlessly every day.
Yeah, is this all there is? I feel like I need to, you know, occupy my time in a more, I don't know, fulfilling way.
Yeah,
so
productive, yeah.
I do have clients that find opportunities where they can be of service. Maybe that's in, you know, different organizations in their community, church, you know, they go back to work part-time even, sometimes on a volunteer basis, sometimes not. Maybe they are working again, but it just looks very different than
right, yeah.
what their previous career was.
Yeah. So it doesn't necessarily, and maybe it is a job, you know, maybe it is some mm-hmm. sort of a, you know, it's just not the grind job that maybe you had before. It's maybe it's a small business. Maybe it's, you've always wanted to, I don't know, start your own woodworking or painting or whatever. Right. But just yes. make sure you're thinking about something along those lines as that countdown to retirement, because it, again, as humans, I think we all need purpose and some level of fulfillment going on to help us, you know, feel like we're not just meandering through our days. And I mentioned 50 kind of being that kickoff. So number four on my list, when we turn 50, there's some nice opportunities that do present themselves, hopefully, Marcia, to save a little bit more. Run through a few things that change when we turn 50, if you would, please.
Sure. So with contributions that we make into like tax-deferred accounts, mm-hmm. IRAs and Roth IRAs, so traditional and Roth IRAs, we have what's called a catch-up provision. And this also applies to employer-sponsored plans like 401ks if you're still working. And you are now able at the age of 50 to put in additional monies into those types of accounts to further just hopefully, you know, build that that wealth
extra
that you
money.
Will have once you retire. Yeah, you're going to need that extra money. So it gives you an opportunity to do that once you reach age 50. So it's important to note that. And so wherever you can, if that makes sense financially, to kind of get that extra little bump in there as you can to take advantage. And then I would say also, you know, you've probably got lower expenses at this point. You know, you're maybe empty nesters now, paying for college, and maybe even you're fortunate enough to have your mortgage paid off. So that's an opportunity, certainly, with cash flow, if you have lower expenses, to be able to do some things with that in preparation of retirement. Those are a couple.
And the kids are hopefully off the payroll. Right?
Yeah, hopefully. That's what I'm saying. Yeah, hopefully they've left the nest and they're not on the payroll.
Yeah, yes. Well, and I think there's a differentiator there, right? Leaving the nest and being off the payroll are two different
two
things.
Two totally different things. You're
like,
right.
Mom, can you pay my cell phone bill, you know, or whatever, right? Yeah. Those kinds of things. So, yeah, I think we're in that time of life, and we're hopefully also making the most money we've ever made. Right? Typically, when we're in our 50s, we're kind of at our peak earning years. So between that, the catch-up contributions, you know, so on and so forth, there's all these things kind of bundled together. You can really make a nice dent if you do feel like you're behind, or if your numbers say that you're behind. If you're going through the process with a professional like Marcia, and you find out, hey, I do need to save a little bit more, let's ramp this up. Well, that's a great time to do that. And another great time, number five on the list, Marcia, is let's go ahead and get that debt down, especially the bad debt, right? Or the toys. If you're in that process in the 50s where you've bought, hey, I'm going to get my boat for retirement, or I'm going to get our RV or whatever, let's get rid of that heavy or bad, quote unquote, bad debt.
Yes, for sure. It's, you know, a lot of times I get that question when people come to me about paying off their mortgage. And I think a lot of times that becomes more of the focus versus on some of this other debt that I would certainly consider to be more of an issue going into retirement, both mm-hmm. from just a cash flow perspective every month when we're trying to provide that income plan. But also, you know, the rates of interest that they're paying on that is quite a bit different than what they're paying on a mortgage. So, yeah, you know, if they have their toys, like you said, and we have car loans and we're carrying credit card debt and things like that, we really at this point want to be making a very focused effort on trying to reduce or even eliminate a lot of that debt.
Yeah. And the house one definitely becomes a big, I didn't specifically bring that one up because I know advisors have so many different stances on this. I think general rule is, hey, if you can get the house paid off before you actually retire, fantastic. But let's not do it at the risk of being, you know, house rich and cash poor kind of things. It's all got to kind of come down to some of the math on some of that.
Yes, that's exactly right. It is really a case by case basis. Mm-hmm, yeah. Everyone's different, in a different position with that. But ideally, yeah, if we didn't have that, again, that cash flow, because generally that's the biggest expense we have is our home. So if that can be eliminated in an efficient, you know, strategic way, then by all means, that's
absolutely
puts you in a better position. But let's not necessarily pull, you know, 25% of our retirement out and pay tax and some of these other things that people do have been told to do sometimes.
Yeah, that's true. Because if you go pulling it out of your 401k and you're not 59 and a half yet, then you pay the penalty, you pay the taxes, and then you take away that potential for that growth as well, you know, just for the sake of making you feel better at night because you've paid off the house. And again, if it's a super stressful thing, that's why it's a case by case basis. At the end of the day, you know, Marcia, you're not the money police, right? So at the end of the day, it's ultimately going to be the client's, you know, whatever they want to get done, but it's your job to say, okay, based on this, I would not do that, or so on and so forth, or I would do this and here's why, kind of thing.
Yes, that's right. Yeah, we really just want to be a sounding board for a lot of those decisions. Mm-hmm. I always want them to do whatever is going to help them sleep well,
sure.
You know, and just give them that peace of mind. But at the same time, we just want to educate them and show them both scenarios,
right,
and then let them decide ultimately which one makes the most overall, you know, sense to them.
Yeah, because it's part of your fiduciary responsibility as well, is to be like, hey, look, I got to present you with all the info, then we're going to do, you know, and ultimately we can do what you want, but here's the recommendation and here's why. And so debt, you know, again, a big one. As we're doing the countdown to retirement, let's try to get rid of as much of that as we can. And then I'll finish with this last one here, Marcia, which is risk. You know, if we're reducing debt, why are we not thinking about reducing risk? And I think, again, the market the last couple of years has made it super easy to kind of forget about risk because it's been doing so well. But 2022 has went, hello, I'm risk, I'm here. And that's when we start to pay a little bit more attention. And so maybe investing, you know, at 58, like 38, is maybe not the thing you want to do.
No, it's not. And there's this very basic sort of financial planning rule of 100 that, you know, some people may have heard about, and certainly you can look it up. You know, we take 100, subtract your current age. Let's say that that's 60. Then, you know, we have 40 left over. So what we're saying here is that really no more than 40% of your assets should be exposed to risk of loss in the market. But many times what we see is that number is completely flipped. So if we meet with someone who's in their 60s getting ready to retire, a lot of times we see that rather than 60% of their money being in something that's, you know, more conservative and positioned more for safety and preservation, it's really the opposite. And they've got 60% at risk.
Right. Especially
so
the last
couple
of years.
So we just want to make sure we're being mindful of that.
Yeah. And that's the kind of the old traditional thing, you know, and it's a rule of thumb, right? So it's something you could do a quick, you know, back of the napkin kind of math on. But when you really start sitting down, Marcia, and you're going through and you're doing, you know, the risk analysis and you're going through the whole planning process, you may find, even if it's 60-40 and they were like, well, yeah, I'm 40% at risk, I can handle that. And then whenever you actually go to show them, they go, well, I can't handle that, right? Many times I think what people find out is they are taking more risk than they actually know they're taking and can handle. So that's where that's that planning process. That's a big piece of that as well, is finding out what helps you sleep at night from that risk standpoint. Because a lot of times, to your point, we're taking way more risk than we even know or are comfortable with. So
yes, and unfortunately, we realize that when
the market's falling.
A market falling like it is, you know, recently.
Exactly.
So that's not something that we want to figure out, is that, okay, maybe I'm not really invested in a way that is aligned with my comfort level.
Yeah.
We don't want to figure that out when we're, you know, in one of those situations. We'd rather be proactive about that and make sure we're doing it right on the front end.
Well, everybody loves risk when the market's doing great.
Sure.
You know, but nobody likes it when it's not doing great. And that's the point.
That's right.
That's the point of getting an analysis done. That's the point of going through the process. So anyway, that's our countdown list of some things to think about as you're getting closer to retirement. Some pretty good stuff on here. You know, getting healthy, staying healthy, you know, around 50, start putting some of these things into action. Start really thinking about the free time, not just the big ticket items like the travel plans, which is great. But also a lot of that small stuff, the day-to-day, the minutia. Think about some of that stuff as well. Do you want a post-retirement job, journey, passion, something? Put that on that list as well. Of course, you can catch up those contributions. You can put some more away. You can pay down some of the debt. You can change the risk. You can work through that process. And all of that really is part of, really, that's what the retirement planning process is all about right there. So we give you some things to think through. And then, of course, you can enact those by getting a strategy and a plan in place with a professional like Marcia. So if you need some help, as always, folks, you should know what to do by now. If you're listening to the podcast, we are only a few episodes in, but hopefully we've set up a good, you know, kind of system here for you to realize that if you need some help, please turn to a qualified pro like Marcia. She is an investment advisor representative and the founder and CEO at Unified Wealth and Retirement Planning. You can find her online at unifiedwealthplanning.com. That's unifiedwealthplanning.com. And don't forget to subscribe, Marsha on Money, whatever platform you like using. Find it all there at the website as well. Marsha, thanks for hanging out and talking about the countdown. Got me thinking about some things myself. So I appreciate the time.
All right. Well, great to be here. Thanks, Mark.
Absolutely. And we're going to let you guys go. We'll see you next time here on Marsha on Money. We'll be back with more episodes here in July. We're right around the 4th of July. So we'll see you with some new content very, very soon. Until next time, take care, folks.
The opinions expressed by Marsha Harris and guests on this radio show are their own and do not reflect the opinions of this station. All statements and opinions expressed are based upon information considered reliable, although it should not be relied upon as such. Any statements or opinions are subject to change without notice. Investments involve risk and, unless otherwise stated, are not guaranteed. Past performance cannot be used as an indicator to determine future results. Any strategies mentioned may not be suitable for everyone. Information expressed does not take into account your specific situation or objectives and is not intended as recommendations appropriate for you. Before acting on any information mentioned, please consult with a qualified tax or investment advisor to determine if it is suitable for your specific situation. This program is designed to provide accurate and authoritative information with regard to subject covered. Investment advisory services offered through Brookstone Capital Management LLC, BCM, a registered investment advisor. BCM and Unified Wealth Planning are independent of each other. Insurance products and services are not offered through BCM, but are offered and sold through individually licensed and appointed agents. Any comments regarding safe and secure products and guaranteed income streams refer only to fixed insurance products. Index or fixed annuities are not designed for short-term investments and may be subject to caps, restrictions, fees, and surrender charges as described in the annuity contract. Guarantees are backed by the financial strength and claims-paying ability of the issuer. Registered investment advisors and investment advisor representatives act as fiduciaries for all of our investment management clients. We have an obligation to act in the best interests of our clients and to make full disclosure of any conflicts of interest, if any exist. Please refer to our firm brochure, the ADV 2A page 4, for additional information.